baby, come on in my kitchen. Baby, it's hard to be raining, I do.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? Have a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
You want some more?
Delicious. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan, and what a great weekend. Have you noticed the skies have cleared and the temperature has dropped? You know, that's a reason to celebrate no matter what else is going on. And there has been a lot going on this weekend. Today was the 54th annual teriyaki barbecue at the Inmanji Temple in Sebastopol. Always just a really sweet event. Even though it's enormous, it doesn't lose its really intimate feel. It was really nice, and nice to be there when it's not too hot out. And now tomorrow, the big French holiday. And I had several people this week say, Bastille Day? When is that? And it's like, wow, isn't that like Christmas to you? Don't you all know it's July 14th? Apparently not. But that is the celebration tomorrow. And it is many things. One thing it is an excuse to drink a pastis. And so we have Marco Kara Kashovich. Pretty close from your father and your mom have been here before. I've had several people from Charbet, formerly known as Domaine Charbet, now Charbet Winery and Distillery, talking about your California pastis. I think your dad was on one of my shows about absinthe, the grandfather of pastis, perhaps, and we will be doing another show on absinthe. But we also have a full house with Cousteau Bakery. And as soon as I said to Mouthful's new producer, Kainoa, oh, let's get Cousteau, I thought, I've been doing the show 13 years and I haven't had them on before. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. I've been eating Cousteau bread and enjoying your products. I discovered you for the very first time when you had your little booth at Petrini's,
oh, yes.
Which is now Safeway. I used to go there all the time.
Yes. For 10 years, we were there, in-store bakery.
Yeah, and I was probably there once a week the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys had the most delicious little, very small pecan pies.
Yeah. Still make them today.
Yeah. In fact, I used them. I had to do a photo shoot, and they weren't really compensating me to the degree I thought I should be compensated. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to slave to make a bunch of pecan pies. I'm going to go buy some from Cousteau. They never knew the difference. Anyway, we have Will Seppi, it's your parents, at the helm of Cousteau. And you are?
I'm the general manager there.
General manager.
Grew up in the business and back to it for the last 4 years, and Mom and Dad are semi-retired now.
We also have Marin Rossi. Welcome, Marin, pastry chef. And your mom is the garden manager at Kendall Jackson.
She is, yeah.
She's probably taking care of lots of tomatoes right about now.
A slightly busy time of year for her, yeah.
Yes, and then also joining us from Cousteau Bakery, head of retail sales and service, Bonnie Headley.
Hello.
Thank you for tuning in. So first, and before we go into the specifics of what you all do, let's just talk a little bit about the celebration of Bastille Day. What you know, it seems that May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, which isn't celebrated all that much in Mexico, is sort of an excuse for everyone to pretend they're Mexican here in the United States and drink a lot of beer.
Oh, I love it.
You know, any excuse to eat salsa and, you know, visit taco trucks is fine with me. I have no problem with that. But what about Bastille Day in France?
Well, I think it's a big day for celebrations in France, parades, picnics, and whatnot throughout the country.
Is it a national holiday?
It is a national holiday for them. They have big parades down the Champs-Élysées, the military troops going down, fireworks, and a whole host of other activities. I think domestically here in the United States, it's well recognized on the East Coast, Washington, D.C., and New York. There are a lot of activities in both those cities. But not so much here on the West Coast, and I think it's time we start.
You're about to change that.
Change those things, exactly.
And just historically, Bastille is when the citizens stormed the Bastille, the jail.
Correct.
And it was really sort of the launch of the French Revolution.
Right, French independence, right, exactly. The whole starting of that uprising, and from there, them becoming their own country.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what are you all doing?
What are we doing?
What are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow we are doing a whole host of things, starting when the doors open at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
7 to 4 tomorrow. So all day we have different things planned. We have a special menu, first of all, throughout the day, and then we have a number of different entertainment items going on. We're starting off in the morning from 8 to noon. In fact, we have, for anyone that wants to stop by, a decorate-your-own Eiffel Tower cookie. So our pastry chefs will be on hand to help out do that.
Can I just interject here? This may seem like a casual thing for children, but if anyone's ever looked at the Eiffel Tower, architecturally it's fairly difficult, so I think we should take this seriously.
There, the challenge has been made.
That's it.
You know, can I tell you a quick story about the Eiffel Tower? I have a 7-year-old grandson, and he must have been three and a half. And every now and then, if I'm working really, 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 really hard, I'll take a very guilt-ridden break, and I'll watch an episode of Beverly Hills 90210. It clears my mind of my work. And I had it on because I was working hard, and he comes in. He caught me. He looked at me, and he said, "Mimi, is that France? Is that Paris?" And I look at him, and I haven't, you know, shoved my Francophilia on him yet. And I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" And he said, "Well, a long, long time ago, when I was still a little baby, I watched an episode of Rugrats, and they were in Paris, and I remember that tower."
Hmm. Oh.
So I love that.
Wow. That's definitely a landmark.
Yeah. And he's still today. He's there. Oh, that's in Paris.
No need.
Anyway.
Smart.
Maybe we'll find a way to get him up there to decorate a cookie.
Definitely.
Perfect.
So that's from 9 to noon.
Yep, 9 to noon we're doing that. We have mime in the morning, first thing, for all of our breakfast patrons. We'll have a mime on hand. And then we also have French music going on from 10 to 11. And then at lunchtime, we have can-can dancers coming in for entertainment at the lunch hour.
Can-can dancers, that's so great.
So, which will be fun. And then the big thing at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock to 2, we have the Tour de Cousteau. So, like now, the Tour de France,
yes.
We have the Tour de Cousteau.
And tell us some more details.
Well, it's stationary for one thing.
It's a stationary Tour de Cousteau.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I was thinking, well, where are they going to go? Are they going to go around the square?
So we will have, we have arranged to have some stationary bicycles set up in front of our cafe. And we have already, I don't know, Bonnie, we've had a number of teams sign up.
Multiple teams, actually. We're expecting a lot of teams, actually.
We have some tasty rooms that have put together teams. We have some other local businesses, and they've gotten into it. They have shirts made.
Did we ever get a hold of a yellow jersey?
The yellow jersey
for the winner.
Oh, I don't know if we did that.
Well, you know what? They get a gift certificate.
Authenticity is out the window.
To come see us.
They're going to get to ride yellow bikes. So.
Yes.
So we got a number of teams signed up to do that. It'll be staged throughout an hour or so, and we've got prizes for those teams. And that'll be an hour and a half long, and anyone can stop by and do that. You don't have to necessarily have had to sign up your team ahead of time, but you can sign up tomorrow. And then concluding the day, we're going to do just a little bit of fun. We're going to do some French wines versus California wines, just for a little, brown bag them and pour them for folks coming in to test their palate and put some French Chardonnays up against California Chardonnays and Pinots and whatnot. So it should be fun.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Sounds like a blast. I'm going to hear details of the menu as well and details of the history of Cousteau as well. But I want to bring Marco in to talk. Let's talk a little bit about pastis and your pastis.
Well, my mom and dad went to Paris and had just the most amazing time 1 year. And I think one of the most memorable parts for my mom was sitting in the cafes and drinking pastis. So my dad, who loves to extract and pull flavors out of anything, said, that's it. We're not going to buy this pastis anymore. We're just going to make it ourselves. And so I said, well, can we at least do about like 60 gallons or something to start? I mean, I know mom loves it, but, you know, for the effort, let's do a little bit and put in the bottle. And so this one is 11 years old.
It's really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're sold out of it. This is out of our stash.
So do you have none on the market right now?
There's some in some stores, maybe like a bottle
or
two.
Of somebody I have to give a present to.
Well, like I said, we do have a stash.
You might
so
be talking to the person.
We could help you.
So do you have, when will more be, when will the next be released?
That's a good question. We went down to Mexico in February, and then actually in May, and went to a friend's distillery and started to do a research run of distilling our own tequila. So I'm very, very, very excited about getting the tequila going.
So are you more involved with the tequila right now than you are the pastis?
Well, we're extracting botanicals right now for the absinthe or pastis as well.
Did you just anticipate my next question?
Well, we have Grand Absinthium Wormwood growing in our house.
Now, I think the first time I had your dad on, it was very early in Mouthful. I think it was Mouthful's second anniversary show, and it was about absinthe. And at that point, Barnaby Conrad III, who wrote the book quite a number of years ago about absinthe, and he brought two bottles with him, and that was the first time I ever tasted the real thing. And I never believed I ever would. I mean, I studied Oscar Wilde in college, so of course I was interested. And I talked to your dad about it, and then, you know, Hangar One just snuck around in December, somehow moved it forward, getting the ban lifted. And I immediately thought, okay, is Charbet going to make absinthe?
Well, like I said, we've been extracting wormwood, and we've been making pastis for years, so it was just a matter of time for someone to help out and get the laws changed so that we could legally make absinthe.
So. And is it an entirely different formula for absinthe, or is it really pastis with the addition of the wormwood and a couple of other things to balance flavor?
I would say it's a blend of botanicals, a lot of anise focused, and then also a couple of different herbs to balance out the absinthe or the wormwood.
The wormwood, yeah, because I assume the bitterness translates. I tried making absinthe tea once. It doesn't really work. It's really, really bitter.
Worth a try, though, right?
Definitely worth a try.
The extract that we're extracting right now out of the wormwood is just really amazing, really intense spearmint.
And what is the extraction process?
Well, that's ASET technology. I'm sure my dad got into that a little bit, but... We use water and alcohol.
Water and alcohol.
Yeah. That's about all he's going to let me say.
Okay.
About that. He said technology is ancient Serbian extraction techniques that have been in my family for now 13 generations.
And, of course, when you drink pastis, or when you're supposed to, when you drink pastis, the way that you should drink it, in my understanding, the same with absinthe, is a small amount. I know that Pernod, I guess it was, issued Ridley some glasses, some absinthe glasses with spoons a number of years ago, and they have lines on them. And there's the little line that looks to me like it's about half an ounce. You fill that up with the liqueur, and then you add water. I ordered pastis. I was in the south of France for several weeks, and when I got home, of course, I just wanted pastis, and I ordered it in a bar, and they used a tall glass, like I don't know if it's a screwdriver glass or what, put in a few ice cubes, and filled it up with pastis.
That's proper.
That was enough to kill, you know, a person twice my size.
But wasn't it fun?
I actually asked for 2 glasses of ice, and I divided it up and gave it to other people. Because that was, I mean, I like it a lot, but that was a lot.
I like to put it in a shaker and shake it just like a martini and strain it into a martini glass because it's just a pure white, super chilled version of what you really want anyways, a dilution of pastis.
Does it get the cloudy?
Colloidal suspension.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, totally white.
Oh, interesting. Did you bring a shaker?
I'm sure we have a couple in the car.
Of course. Who doesn't? We'll be right back here on Mouthful. Mouthful. It is KRCB. I'm Michelle Jordan. Charbet Winery, located on Spring Mountain, right near the Sonoma Napa.
About half a mile from the county line. Mm-hmm.
And you distill a lot of things.
About 27 different products.
Wow. I remember now was the thing with potatoes.
Pachanga, sunflower
yes,
root distillate.
That's right. That's right. And now that you have a green tea. Do you still do that?
No, but I think it might come around again. The way the market is, and the way that people are exploring other spirits and micro distilled products, people are looking for something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the first ones in the world to distill sunflower roots. Imagine that. it was a little bit difficult in the 80s to say, hey, you know, this is kind of like mezcal, but it's not. It's made in America, and it's not tequila. It's made from sunflowers, and people just, we drink it in Bloody Marys at home.
Yeah, it's really good in Bloody Marys. And now you have green tea. Tell me about that.
This is out of our winery in St. Helena. It's a green tea aperitif wine. So it's a white wine that we flavor with green tea extract that we make. Since we make green tea vodka in our distillery, we made some green tea extract in the winery and blended that into our white wine. And then we distilled Pinot Noir, Eau de Vie.
That I don't know about.
We put that Eau de Vie into the wine as well to elevate the alcohol up to 21%. So we've taken all the guesswork out. It's just, we just love drinking it on the rocks. That's all you really need to know. But I just did a couple of nights ago. I had some friends over, and we make rum too. So rose geranium grows really well.
Yes. I have Rose Journey, if you need some.
Oh, I love it. I grew up with that on the property on top of Spring Mountain, and we took a shaker halfway full of ice, put three leaves of Rose Geranium in there, and then topped it with ice, and then poured half a shaker of rum, Charbet rum, and then topped it with this green tea aperitif, and it tasted like a rose petal. I had to do it again just to make sure. And I duplicated it.
What's your most popular product?
Well, I'd probably say the vodkas right now. Mm-hmm. We've been in California, pomegranate vodka. It's probably outselling even the blood orange. And then nationwide, the clear and green tea vodkas are really accelerating.
Mm-hmm. I have not tried your pomegranate vodka.
It's so light. It's just... put it on the rocks and drink it with tonic, a splash tonic, and it's the way to go.
And it really seems that this is the time of the pomegranate. They've gotten so, you know, like, oh, drink pomegranate juice and you'll live forever.
It's been amazing. Our grower down in Madeira, he planted another 60 acres, and there are a lot of amazing pomegranate growers down there.
Yeah.
They're certified organic, and getting 19 brick pomegranates is just... I mean, it's just a wonderful... I love living here.
Yeah. Okay, so back to Bastille Day. Will Seppi, of course, Cousteau Bakery. What are some of the special things? First of all, I have to say, you've brought this beautiful selection of cheeses with dried fruits and nuts, all French cheeses, mm-hmm. Some nice Cousteau baguettes sliced up and ready for us to eat, and also risqué, which is a hard cider from Toad Hollow Vineyards.
Which we will be serving that tomorrow for starters for everyone that comes in. And the cheese that we have is something we have on our menu all the time. And they're all French cheeses that we brought in. We have the Roquefort, we have the Saint-André Triple Cream, we have French goat cheese, and then we also have the Port Salut. So those are what we serve, feature at the bakery all the time, and we'll definitely be featuring those tomorrow on our menu, amongst a few other different things that we normally don't have on the menu. So
what are
a special menu tomorrow.
Yeah, what are some of those things?
Well, I think we're doing pommes frites, which I love, with aioli.
Ooh,
which is basically
yum.
Fancy mayonnaise.
Yep.
And I don't think there's enough French fries and mayonnaise in this country.
No, French fries and mayonnaise. I have them trained at K&L Bistro. I live in Sebastopol. If I get anything that has pommes frites, they bring me aioli.
I don't understand why that hasn't caught on more in this country. It's one of the best combinations out there.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and then I think we're doing a croque monsieur and a croque madame, which is a cheese. It's basically a ham and cheese sandwich.
Sort of like a grilled cheese, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But
croque
French.
Crispy,
So our style of that. We're going to do it on a toasted brioche.
Mm-hmm. Do you have those little machines? You know, the
panini, the press machine.
Not the press. There's one. It's a croque monsieur machine. I'm sure you probably don't.
No, I know we don't.
They look like almost like tongs, only they open the opposite way. And then they have this round part, and you put the sandwich into this round part, and you close it, and then you hold it. I mean, the reason I say you probably don't is because you could never feed people in a restaurant with it. And then you hold it over a flame and turn it, and it toast.
Like making the Boston Celli Italian over the flame that way, one at a time.
I think we're using bricks from the renovation, aren't we?
Right.
We're in the middle of renovating the bakery, so.
So we've got those activities going on as well.
We have a full
remodel.
What possessed
underway.
You to do this huge party tomorrow?
Absinthe.
Anything for a party.
That's
anything
right. This is the first. This is the first Bastille Day after the legalization of absinthe.
Right. Mm-hmm. That must be it. And then the other thing that we decided to do was also. It's our 85th year. The bakery celebrates its 85th year in Healdsburg. So, as we thought out things for the year, this is one thing that we wanted to put some energy behind and bring a special twist to. So we thought, what the heck? Let's focus on Bastille Day. We've always done in the past little things, but this year we decided to put quite a bit of things behind it, entertainment and the menu and whatnot, so it should be fun.
Can you do a quick history lesson?
Quick history lesson. Bakery was founded in 1923, originally as French-American Bakery, and it was located in the building right to the north of us where we are currently located on Healdsburg Avenue, then called West Avenue. Today, that space is occupied by Cyrus as their business office, not as the restaurant, their business office. So the building that we are in today, we moved into there about 20 years ago. We constructed that and expanded the business. But from 1923s up until 1989 period, the bakery operated there on Healdsburg Avenue. It changed hands several times from founding. It was called Fred's Bakery or Fred Lupe's Bakery. It was the French-American Bakery. And then John and Annie Cousteau, French couple, bought it back in the early 70s. And then my parents, Carl and Nancy, bought that from them in 1981 time frame. And up until 81 period, it was mainly known for its bread. Mm-hmm. It was a big bread producer, producing Italian breads and then French breads. John brought on, John Cousteau had learned and baked at a number of different bakeries in Sonoma County and learned sourdough bread baking. So he introduced that into the portfolio. And then when my parents bought the business, they bought it because my great aunt told them it would be a great idea for those kids to do. My dad, just sidebar, my dad is a golf professional. My mother's a nurse by training. So when they moved to Healdsburg 32 years ago or so, they were also into real estate. Things weren't going that well, and the business came for sale. And my mother's aunt said, you kids really should buy it. So it came for sale one time around. They didn't do it, and it came again, and then they decided to buy it. And my mom had always come down to Healdsburg from Oregon to pick prunes and grapes and everything out on her aunt's ranch in Dry Creek. So anyhow, they bought the business then and have expanded over the years, adding new styles of breads, their full pastry line and dessert line. But when they first started, my dad did all the baking. My mom did all the sales on the front of the, in the front of the house. And just from there, things evolved. And as you mentioned, we were in the Petrini Market in Santa Rosa, and that was 89 to 99 time frame or so, a 10-year period there, which was great, great for us. And that's how we got into the Santa Rosa area and got people down here familiar with our products. And then from there, we've just continued to expand. We've changed our a lot of focus over the last 4 years and me coming back to the business. We changed our pastry line. We hired on Doug Cavalieri, who had Cavalieri's Bakery in Santa Rosa. Doug works for us as our pastry chef. And then Marin came on board with us as well. And between the two of them now, and Doug's more advisory, he's in several days a week working, but Marin's the full-time pastry chef for us. So we overhauled our whole pastry line and brought that up, really focusing on one area, wedding cakes in particular, and then everything else that goes with it, whether it's the caramel macadamia tarts or the pecan tarts. Some of those staples have always stayed, but then we've introduced other items as well.
What are the trends these days, Marin, with wedding cakes?
I think people are starting to actually want their wedding cakes to taste good as well as to look beautiful. Yeah. I get so many people, they come in and they taste their cakes and they're like, I can't believe it. It actually tastes decently. So, I mean, I myself have tasted a lot of wedding cakes that look absolutely gorgeous but kind of taste like edible cardboard.
Yeah, inedible.
So, yeah, ours have fresh strawberries. We have a really great cream cheese frosting with Grand Marnier we do. And something that's a little different. I mean, we do poppy seed cake. We've started to do a lot of chocolate cakes. Mm-hmm. One of our favorites is our chocolate truffle, which is basically just bittersweet chocolate, a little heavy cream, and some espresso. So how wrong can you go?
Have you gotten requests for cupcake wedding cakes?
We did a lot last year, and we're still doing some, and it's fun. I mean, you can do real cute ones with flowers. We had a crazy kind of Alice in Wonderland theme one last year, which Doug and I probably spent more time than Will would have wanted us to on it, but we did like caterpillars and and ladybugs and all sorts of stuff. So
that looked great.
So that has been a trend, but I think mainly people come to us because we do a lot of really just simple, elegant designs and cakes.
The, designs are beautiful. The website's good.
Thank you very much.
The website and looked at the cakes.
Yeah, the website's all new. We just launched that about 3 months ago. I think it took us a year to get that overhauled. So that was exciting process to go through, but it's
done. Oh, yes, isn't it?
For me, it's been interesting. I've been here for about 3.5 years now, and just seeing how the bread business has changed as well. When I first started, we did a really good classic crusty French bread, but we didn't do a lot of artisan-style breads or long-fermented breads. And now, just in the last 3 years, the bread that we serve has completely changed. We do a lot of amazing wild yeast breads. We do a French country, which has a little wheat and rye flour in it, which is just tastes like bread should taste. You know, it tastes like wheat. And we do a great ciabatta, multigrain bread, which makes the best toast in the world. Have that for breakfast every morning with some butter, probably more than I should.
But butter's good for you. Butter is a good thing. Butter is really good for
Isn't
you.
It?
As long as it's good butter,
that's it.
You're fine.
Butter's one of the things that makes life worth living, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, you're in Northern California. You have the best butter in the world, with the exception of the Normandy coast.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we're very lucky to live here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you just opened a box.
I did.
I'm curious.
I was looking to see. We were talking about some desserts. So we brought, we make eclairs, and our eclairs have a rum custard filling, and we do a very soft fudge topping on it. So I brought those, and there's also a couple little bonbons in here.
They're really pretty.
And there's another box, too, that I'll open up. Maybe I'll try to, I can pass these around here.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Help yourself.
I'm not going to nibble these right now. I'm still working on the cheese. They're really gorgeous.
Those are fun to make, too. I don't know if you've ever made patachou dough, but it's one of the coolest doughs to make.
Patachou is really fun. I love making it.
Isn't it? Because it doesn't seem scientifically that it should work, and then it just always magically puffs up in the oven. It's really satisfying.
Yeah,
so.
And it looks really yummy.
And the other
Oh, look at that. Look at that tart.
This is our frangipane tart. So we have the baked almond cream, slivered almonds on that. So we have this every day in the shop, but tomorrow in particular we'll have quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great item. It's actually one of my mom's favorite products. You can heat it and serve it for breakfast or have it for a snack in the afternoon or dinner. Just a great all-around.
It's really gorgeous.
Dessert, so.
Just really gorgeous. It's that nice, thin, you know, made in this sort of tart pan that you can lift the pop the bottom.
They're pretty and foolproof, which is good considering.
And they're beautiful. They're really beautiful. And this is really sort of nostalgic for me because it's making me remember just how beautiful everything was in the cases at Petrini's. Mm. I don't get up to Healdsburg as much as I would if I didn't work all the time.
I don't get out of Healdsburg that often.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, things have changed so much since you were in Petrini's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's changed for everyone. I mean, traffic is really different now than it used to be.
And Healdsburg's changed quite a bit.
Oh, my God, Healdsburg's changed more than anywhere. I still love Healdsburg, but it seemed to change in the blink of an eye. And how has that changed? And I should tell you, if you're not sure what we're talking about, Healdsburg went through that transformation with the Hotel Healdsburg, Lamar's Hotel. It was just like suddenly there were a million tourists there all the time, sort of imposed or added a layer of high-end tourism added so quickly to the town. Has that changed your business?
Dramatically. Our business has changed a lot. In fact, we're very lucky to be in Healdsburg. We're somewhat isolated there in that location, the businesses that are there in town. Not to say that, you know, things are slowing down globally and domestically, but we still have a good tourist trade coming through town. In fact, today in our shop, I was amazed. We probably had at least a dozen or so international visitors in our place.
Really?
So we definitely feel the impact of the foreigner coming in to town, taking advantage of obviously the strong euro and the weak U.S. dollar, and doing a lot of traveling to the States. And then for those that aren't traveling abroad, travel domestically, coming to the wine country and coming to Sonoma County and Napa County, or, you know, not too bad places to go, you know, to visit. So we're lucky there, but the business, has changed, definitely. I mean, the foot traffic in town has picked up, the number of shops that we have, as you mentioned, the addition of the hotels, the high-end hotels, and then the restaurants there, Charlie Palmer's Dry Creek Kitchen, when that came on, and then definitely the addition of Cyrus with Nick Payton and Doug Keene's operation has definitely attracted, a lot of notoriety for the town as well.
Yeah, it really has. And now we have Scopa is
went
in where the
running.
Thai restaurant was.
Yes.
And
so.
Something else is opening, I think. Can't think. I'll think of it.
Okay.
So how have you seen this increase in tourism? How has that affected the local business?
The local business is still there. I mean, we're very fortunate as a company to have the longevity that we have, and we've been there for 85 years because of the local people, and that's very important for us as we position ourselves, whether we're thinking of events or whether we're looking at our product line and different things, to make sure that we don't lose touch with our locals because they're an absolutely critical mm-hmm. part of our business. But at the same time, we've had to, you know, make changes to cater to tourists coming into town that, you know, want something different and want something, you know, a little maybe more on the high-end side. We switched, in fact, to sit-down service 2 years ago in our place. And used to all be stand-up, you know, order at the counter, and then we'd bring food mm-hmm. to you. And that went over really well. In fact, we had locals saying, why didn't you do this 15 years ago? So
I
that
think
was
the nice thing, too, is we still do have those customers that we've had for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Last summer, we did a wedding cake for a couple, and we'd done her mother's cake, too.
Oh.
And that was just a really cool uh-huh. thing, and she had great memories. We have a lot of people come in, and they have great memories of celebrating birthdays or graduations with our with cakes that we've done. And it's just nice to have that kind of longevity that kind of history in a town.
And that community. Yeah, that's so important to keep that, no matter
exactly.
how many more people discover
and people,
us.
Right, and that's what people like about coming in and mm-hmm. coming to Healdsburg and, you know, coming in our places, the friendliness of the town, the friendliness of the establishments. I was talking to someone the other day for an article, and they asked a similar question. And I said, you know, people come back. You know, we're not changing what we're doing. We're just giving the tourists the experience that Healdsburg's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Come in. People should be friendly, hopefully. You know, hopefully wherever you eat in town, you're going to have a good meal.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to direct you someplace else because we want you to come back, right? We mm-hmm. we want you to enjoy the town. Tell somebody else and come visit.
Yeah. You started doing some winemaker dinners too, didn't you?
We have done those in the past. It's been a little while since we've done them. We have some things that we're working on that haven't come to full planning yet, but after we're done with our remodel, that is one thing that we'll
when
get back into.
When do you expect
into.
That to be completed?
We hopefully to be done with that by September.
Okay.
So,
well, good luck.
More to come.
And Marco, back to you. Do you have a tasting room open to the public?
Yes, we do. We just hired Mark Raymond, and he is our tasting room manager,
mm-hmm.
and he is there Monday through Saturday now, mm-hmm. or Monday through, Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
Sometimes on Mondays, too.
And is it drop-in or is it by appointment?
We recommend appointments mm-hmm. because it's not the largest facility in the world, and we like to keep it as one-on-one as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So with a phone call to Mark or to his email, visit@charbay.com, we can totally dial in a nice private tasting.
Mm-hmm. And then do you taste through?
We taste our wines.
Tell us about you. Ports. We haven't talked a lot about wines.
We make wines when we have time. And then all of a sudden we ran out of wine, and my dad was like, we don't have anything to drink. We're making wine this year. And that was after 7 years of making vodkas, fresh-picked fruit-flavored vodkas, and just running all over the U.S. and growing that brand, that product. And so we made some in 97, and then 03 was our current release right now,
is
Oakville Cab.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an 05 Stag's Leap District Cab, and we make port as well.
Now, it sounds to me like you have one of the most flexible businesses I've ever heard of, which is, I mean, wineries, they make wine every year. They make these products. They try to make them taste the same every year. Oh, we're out of stuff to drink. We got to make wine.
Up to 2001, it was Mom, Dad, and me. We didn't have any help, and mm-hmm. it was just a blur. We now have a team of 8 people. My fiancée, Jenny, included,
mm-hmm.
My sister, Laura, Mom and Dad. Dad's retired, but
Laura
he's
handle,
not.
Does Laura handle sales?
She is doing
PR.
More of marketing and PR.
Yeah, I've met Laura. I think she might have been on the show.
She likes to write, so mm-hmm. we're like, great. Take care of the internet. Take care of the website.
mm-hmm.
That is not my bag.
And
sure.
So your dad is sort of... Not
he's retired, but he's not.
Uh-huh.
He still loves working in the lab, creating extracts, distilling this, distilling that. I work with him. We come up with different products. We kind of double-check each other's work, and it's a real treat to be able to work with him. Mm-hmm. It's not easy sometimes, but whatever. Mm-hmm.
He seems like one of those wild creative geniuses.
Well, I mean, I started distilling when I was 10 and with him, and he's a master, and you know, his forte is distillation, not explaining things.
Mm-hmm. So you had to pay really careful attention.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. It's been a wild ride. It's been 25 years working mm-hmm. with my mom and dad. And now I do custom distillations for people myself. I'm running
still. Oh, you do other... Mm-hmm. So in addition to all the different distillations you also do custom?
When we have time on the calendar, I love running the still. And we also have a bottling line where I can custom bottle product for people as well.
Mm. What kind of things do people want you to distill? Let me guess, lavender?
My mom would love it if we did lavender. We distill brandies. A lot more port programs are being started at wineries. And unless you have a distillery, you have to go to a large distillery, probably in Central Valley, mm-hmm. and buy 180 proof, Thompson Seedless. You know, it's very high proof, but it's not. There's different ways to make brandy. Mm-hmm. And we double copper alembic pot distill really good wine. And when you do that, you distill really good wine, you distill and make really good spirits. So for a higher quality port, you need to use higher quality spirits without a doubt. And mm-hmm. that's what more and more people are doing. And we're happy to take about 2,400 gallons of wine. And it takes me about 7 days straight. But
and then you end up with how much?
It's 10-to-1 reduction. Okay. So about 240. You know, it depends on how clean the wine is. Mm-hmm. Depends for cutting the heads and tails out. It's about, you figure 10-to-1. Mm-hmm. And if you're making whiskey, it's 20-to-1. That's why people have been distilling brandy forever, because you just ferment grapes, you get 12% alcohol, and you double distill that, and it's a lot of alcohol available.
Interesting. Interesting. But then whiskey, well, whiskey's another whole
thing. Yeah, whiskey's.
I've seen
it. That's fun, too.
Yeah, I've seen Scotch made.
Oh, nice.
I've seen single malt Scotch made in Scotland. That's pretty interesting.
My whole thing on whiskey is that if it's distilled from beer, then why not use really good beer?
Yeah, you would think.
Hops and all. Mm-hmm. So we distilled, when Benzinger Family Winery had a brewery back in 98 and 99, we distilled 20,000 gallons of Pilsner beer, hops and all, two-row barley from their winery and brewery, and made our whiskey.
What's it called?
Charbet whiskey. Now it's whiskey too. It's our second release, 9 years old, 110 proof.
Okay, let's go back to Pastis, Bastille Day. Cousteau is serving, opening your doors at 7 in the morning. The celebration continues until 4. So breakfast, lunch, snacks.
You got it.
And basically, you know, a big ruckus.
You got it. Nice. Come for fun.
If somebody has to work all day, wants to drink a little pastis at the end of the night, can't find yours. Anyone here able? Are we able to talk about any of the imported brands that people should look for?
Pastis?
Either. Certainly with Absinthe right now, we're seeing...
Hanger One. Absinthe.
There's also the one with the green cat's eyes on it. That starts with an L.
Lucid.
Yep. And then there's the one that starts with a K.
Kubler.
Yeah. Yeah. Those have been available at Traverso's. I bought my bottles there.
Bottle Barn.
And there's a number of bars that are pouring absinthe by the glass.
Where can we find it in Healdsburg?
I bet you can find it at Barn Diva.
Cyrus has a wonderful selection.
Oh, that's, yeah, Cyrus.
I think he might have some Charbet. Oh,
yeah, Scott Beatty would have the bartender there at the bar in Cyrus. That would be fabulous. Perfect. And I would suspect they do a lot of Hangar One at Barn Diva. I know that West County Grill in Sebastopol has, I know they have Hangar One.
In Sebastopol?
Barn Diva.
Well, Barn Diva is Healdsburg. Sebastopol is probably West County Grill.
And then where? GTO's. Oh, yeah, GTO's.
Oh, you know, that's right. GTO's has a full bar. You don't think of that restaurant as having a full bar, but they do. Charbet. And they have Charbet.
Yeah.
Charbet pastis.
Little spot.
And you don't serve pastis.
We do not.
And it requires a different liquor.
It would. if he could get the alcohol content down a little lower.
That's no problem. we just call that aperitif. Make that. And
well, if you want to get your day started, you should come to Custos.
Yes. And, you know, we haven't gotten you in on the conversation very much, Bonnie. You do retail sales and service. What does your job cover?
Well, basically, I'm just, you know, in charge of keeping everybody in line and getting everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow is a big day for us, and we'd love to have people come in and see us. We have, like you said, a whole day of events planned. And
Bonnie may sing tomorrow, too.
Really?
She might.
Probably not. But
if you work at Custos, you have to make sure no one knows if you have any hidden talents.
Yes,
they will
exploit them, yes.
Bonnie's going to be singing towards the end of the week, potentially, for what's the show? American Idol.
For what?
American Idol.
You are?
I plead the fifth.
Okay.
But we would love to have you come in tomorrow for Best Deal Day.
She's back on
the other page. Thing, back to retail sales. I'm wondering, are all your products available only at the location in Healdsburg, or do you distribute anything?
No, we do distribute. Right now we're, we distribute to West County a little bit and to Santa Rosa a little bit. We're looking to expand those.
Is it mostly your bread or bread and pastries?
Breads, bread. The pastries are strictly available in our retail shop. Mm-hmm. Bread we do distribute throughout, obviously, Healdsburg, Windsor, Santa Rosa. And then we do a route every day that goes all the way up to Fort Bragg.
Oh.
So we go up through Ukiah, Willits, into Fort Bragg, and come down through Mendocino and Anderson Valley. So that's a pretty full route for us, delivering 7 days a week up there.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh bread.
Wow.
We've been doing that for going on probably 12 years now. So that's it. Bread's available throughout different places. But definitely, if you're looking for pastries and all the other goodies,
you got to go to town.
Yep.
Okay, I still want to hear some more of the menu items for tomorrow. We got the croque monsieur. We stopped at the croque monsieur, and then, you know.
One thing I found, it's interesting, a little tidbit. I found that croque monsieur, I guess one of the things I was reading, dates back to about 1910, so just a mere 13 years before the bakery started. So when they first have it documented that sandwich was made in
and
a
do
cafe
we know why it was
place.
Made?
I read that the workers, French workers, used to take it with them to wherever they were working, and in those days, there was no refrigeration, no cooler, so they would put them by the radiators to melt the cheese. And croque means crispy in French, so that's where the name
a
came
crispy,
from.
Crispy Mister.
I think it's actually mentioned in Bruce too.
We all like
we,
the crispy
we do have
mister.
A stove at our place, though. We will not be putting the sandwiches on a radiator.
And croque Madame is with the egg on top.
Man. Oh,
and that's modeled after I think a woman's hat.
Hat, yes. Okay.
So
yes.
And then I think we're doing the famous French onion soup, which we've had forever and which is absolutely yummy. And we're doing crepes.
Tell me about the crepes you're doing.
We're doing a blackberry crepe. So perfect for this time of year. Wild blackberries, just really, really good. And then we're doing a couple salads, a salad nichoise, a salad paisan, and what else?
The other breakfast item, we're doing the pan perdu. French toast with brioche. And we're actually doing a Granny Smith apple, but it's going to be
soaked
in a wine, spiced wine. Red wine, so it's been sugar and wine, everything there. So then boiled down, and so that'll be on our brioche tomorrow. And we haven't had that, so it's a new item for tomorrow, just for tomorrow only. And what other couple other things were?
We're going to do the trio of mini desserts. Not to get back onto my favorite subject, but we're going to do the rum eclairs. We're going to do the palmiers, which is basically a puff pastry and caramelized sugar. So that's really yummy. And
yum.
Then French meringue with whipped cream and some fresh berries. So you'll get all three of those on a plate. So that's a fun little sampler.
And the champagne will be overflowing, the French champagne from Toad Hollow. Vineyards.
Yeah, and the last thing I think on there too is we do our little Parisian sandwiches, which we have every day. We do a lightly buttered sweet baguette that has ham, black forest ham, and cheese, Gruyere cheese on that, and that's available every day. But tomorrow we're not only going to offer that, we're going to do another one with pâté and another one with just brie on that. So those will be available, just like you're on the streets in Europe.
Oh, it sounds like a really, really wonderful time. The website is custeaux.com. Would you tell us the address?
We are located 417 Healdsburg Avenue. And we're a block and a half north of the downtown plaza. We're directly across the street from the B&B Lounge. Not sure if we can get past these there or not.
Well, I'm telling you, it's all about making it as an aperitif.
There it is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We could do that.
I can go over and check tomorrow if you need
outdoor,
to.
We have an outdoor patio with wrought iron fencing in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And so we seat inside and out.
7 days a week?
7 days a week. Open at 7 every morning.
And you close?
We close at 4 o'clock Monday through Thursday, 5 o'clock Friday, Saturday, and Sunday be in by 1 o'clock. We just do a quick breakfast and brunch, and we close up at
home.
1 so that everyone gets to get out of there and have a nice afternoon off.
Well, that sounds nice. Charbet, what's the website?
Charbet.com.
Charbet.com?
Charbay.
And if you want information about visiting and about getting products, is that the best way to get the
yes.
information?
Because
it's
phone
out
number
on,
there
up
too.
On Spring Mountain, and so you really want to look at... You want to look at the directions, and you want to look at a map.
Yeah, maybe see if there's another couple of wineries that you might want to stop by while you're on Spring Mountain, because now there's about, seems like 14 different wineries.
14, I didn't realize there were that
amazing.
Many.
When the wind blew from the north, we always had power outages in the 70s and 80s,
mm-hmm.
and now... It's solid.
I can't even say that about
they're
Sebastopol.
Running a lot of power up Spring Mountain now. It's nice.
Well, I want to say thanks to all of
you
for taking time and for bringing all of this wonderful and yummy stuff.
Thank you.
It's really great. So, official thank you to, let me get this right, Marco Karaka.
Karakashevich.
Karakashevich. There we go. Marco Karakashevich of Charbet Winery and Distillery. Will Seppi of Cousteau. Also, Marin Rossi and Bonnie Headley, also of Cousteau. We've got time for Mouthful's book review from Laura Hager, Mouthful's critic. And meet me back here next week. We will be talking with Kay Baumhoffner about her new cooking school, Come Home to Cooking in Petaluma. Have a great week, and vive la France.
Marie-Lou repose sous la neige. Et je me dis, et je me redis. De tous ces dessins d'enfants que neige. Pu préserver la fraîcheur de l'île.
The new book, Service Included, Four-Star Secrets of an Eavesdropping Waiter by Phoebe Damrosch, has been touted as Kitchen Confidential meets Sex in the City. Who could resist picking that one off the shelf? Damrosch had just a few years of waitressing under her belt, but charm aplenty when she landed a job on the launch team of one of the most famous restaurants in New York City, Thomas Keller's Per Se. Service Included is her waiter's eye view of that restaurant's first few years. The first part of the book is devoted to the waitstaff boot camp that servers undergo before they ever make it into the dining room. The mountain of information they have to memorize includes not only the name and provenance of every ingredient likely to appear on a plate at Per Se, but also the provenance of every stick of furniture in the restaurant, and, bizarrely, the acreage of Central Park. To improve their grace in the dining room, the waitstaff was given dancing lessons, where the men were instructed to stand, fencing style, 1 foot ahead of the other, with the opposite hand on an imaginary sword hilt. Damrosch began her career at Per Se not as a waiter, but as a back server, a kind of glorified busboy. Her job was to change tablecloths, set tables, or mark them, as they say in the business, with the correct flatware and glasses between courses, and pour water. She was quickly promoted, however, rising to the rank of captain, the one who manages all the other servers at a given table. Damrosch was one of the few female captains in New York. She found her gender an advantage in all but one area. At the best restaurants, high rollers often palm an extra gratuity, in addition to the tip, discreetly into the hand of the captain. Male captains at Persée took in around $700 a night this way, and for reasons no one understood, the female captains rarely broke $200. Intercut with the behind-the-scenes drama in the dining room are tales of Damrosch's love life. Restaurants, like newsrooms, are erotic hothouses, and almost everyone ends up sleeping with everyone else. Persée was no different. The four-star gossip promised in the book's subtitle never really appears, however. She makes some general observations, without naming names, about the celebrities she served. That they have bizarrely big heads, physically, that is, often arrive late, and suffer an alarming range of fashionable allergies. Instead of tattling on real customers, she probably signed a contract preventing her from doing just that, she invents a couple, who she calls Mr. and Mrs. Bitch-a-Lot, and makes them the stars of all her nastiest stories. Damrosch's work as a waitress proved good training for her later career as a writer. Observing her customers so closely that she could detect their desires before they even felt them taught her a lot about character. It's something to remember next time you're eating out in a good restaurant. You may not be watching your waiters, but they are definitely watching you. This is Laura Hager for Mouthful.
Support for Mouthful on KRCB comes from KRCB radio members and from the Sebastopol Farmers Market, now open in the downtown Sebastopol Plaza every Sunday from 10 to 1:30 with organic, sustainable, locally produced fruits, vegetables, meats, and cheeses, plus breakfast, lunch, and local musicians. Support also comes from Peter Lowell's Cafe in Sebastopol, offering breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the rustic Italian tradition, featuring seasonally sourced organic produce. Serving brunch Saturday and Sunday, Peter Lowell's Cafe online at peterlowells.com. Support also comes from NetBooks, complete business management software for companies up to 50 people, including wineries and food producers. Information available at netbooks.com or by phone at 86-NETBOOKS.
Listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner now, let's go eat. We got some beans and some flip cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner now, let's go.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.
Listen to